Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Welcome back. We are so excited today. We have got Marcia Waterman with us. Marcia, it's so good to have you on here today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So Marcia is the founder of Warriors Refuge. And before we really get into what Warriors Refuge is, I want her to share just a little bit about her story, where she comes from, just so you can get a background of just who she is and the heart behind the ministry that God put in her to start. So Marcia, if you could just introduce yourself and just share a little bit about who you are and how did you come to know Jesus?
Okay, so we're going to have to go back to Canada. So I am from Newfoundland, Canada. And let's see, when I was about 5 years old, there was someone very dear to me that just came to me very little and said that she was being sexually touched and horrible things were happening. We didn't even know the terminology that was happening, but she was threatened that if she told anybody, she was going to be hurt. So of course, my heart was wanting to help her, but I was very young and knew that I did not want to be that person that would cause harm to her either. Of course, now in hindsight, I wish I had told my parents and gotten help and all the things. But for her, it started really young in my heart that there are people in this world that are harmful to young people. And the sexual part of it was very scary for me. So the touching was not to me, but because it was such a close person to me, I carried that for a very long time. I did come to know Jesus at a very, very young age, just spirit-filled at like 9 years old, raised in church. I loved to worship. I always was the one that was called upon for weddings, funerals, to be the singer, and wanted to do missions, wanted to kind of go back to that five-year-old little girl and be able to stop perpetrators. So it's hard for me to go back without bringing up that story because I believe it started right back then when I couldn't do something, when I felt helpless, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I would get, this is back in like, you know, long time ago, I'm 45. So I would get brochures in the mail when snail mail was popular before the internet. And there would be stories of different missionaries. And one of them I remember was coming from Youth with a Mission years ago. And I sat there praying in my bedroom and circling which ones I wanted to go to, which countries. It was mission trips. I circled every one of them. I was about 12 at the time.
That's awesome. And that's a great organization, by the way.
Okay, good. I was like, I put a name out there. I didn't know All-Star back then.
Right. If you had known All-Star, I know you would have come with us.
Yes, yes. I did not know All-Star. Well, I never, ever did go with Youth with a Mission. I just circled every one of them. And right about when I was 18, I actually went to Japan to teach English. But because I had Jesus in my life, Jesus came with me. And that was really my like aha moment. I remember being so far away from family. And I was at a wedding and I remember weddings are very long in Japan. I remember coming home and it was like 2 a.m. because the ladies change outfits. I don't know how many times. And I thought my parents don't, you know, they don't know where I am and I could do anything and they wouldn't know. And then I remember in my spirit that the Lord was just like, yeah, and you've chosen the right path. You've chosen me. And so I remember that being like a time for me, a season. I would run on the track and I would just sit in my, you know, I'm running, so I'm not sitting, but in my heart, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary. And I was having that manna from heaven myself. It wasn't having to be sent to me from my parents, you know, a third person. It literally was, there's nobody here. You could do what you want and you're choosing the right thing. You know, so I sat with him. I really came to know him in a new way because I needed that myself. And I was coming back to Canada from Japan from that year and was on my face asking the Lord to bless my next decision. So I was in his feet, but probably should have sat there a little bit longer because I thought it was time to go to regular college and was on my face. And the Lord was showing me Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd been here once before. My two siblings had been here for Bible school. And to be completely honest, I did not want to come. I wanted to do my own thing. That's probably how I ended up in Nineveh, right? I ended up over over in Japan. But I'm on my face, and the Lord was just showing me, you know, you've had missions in your heart since you were a little girl. You're a worshiper. You love drama. You love my word. And it was like, why are you going to a secular college? Why, you know, let's talk. And literally because I talk to the Lord so openly, cause he's my best friend, he talks to me like that. And I know there are many people that laugh when I say this, but he did. And I didn't hear it audibly, but just in my spirit, it was like, you know, are you ready to listen to my opinion now? That was literally like what I was hearing because he was just hearing me praying. I'm sure it had to be ridiculous, you know, Lord, please bless my decision. My will be done.
So I think we've all had those places, right?
Yes, it's crazy. So I end up in Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1996. And I'm at Victory Bible School, which now I think is a different name. And I told the Lord I would come for 1 year. And we are now in 2022. And I'm still here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But there's been 2 years in there that lived in Europe and did some ministry in Denmark, Europe, which was really heavy. That's the first country where pornography was first legalized. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah. So in Copenhagen, you would see just pornography was everywhere, like at eye level for children even. So that was really, really a crazy time for me. But the Lord has done some incredible work. And I think your question was how I came to know Jesus. So I just gave you my whole testimony, I believe. But
no, it's perfect. Okay. It's perfect. You know, because there's a lot of people that are probably listening that, you know, their story, mm-hmm. especially if they've been raised in church, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people think you have to have this drugs to Jesus story.
Right.
And the truth is that, you know, from an early age, you were kind of pre-discipled, right?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. there came a point where you had to own your faith. There mm-hmm. came a point where you had choices, where you could decide to go your way or you could go God's way. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like that the Holy Spirit captured you at a young age and that as you grew in that, you just chose Him over and over again.
Yeah. There were seasons, especially in probably around 11, 12 years old, where I was a perfectionist and always wanted to just excel in every area. And I got heavily involved in just disordered eating. It was awful. I'm talking before it became cool, because nowadays young girls will actually have throw up parties. I don't know if you've heard of them. They'll eat like a whole pizza and then they just, go take care of it. So this was back in the day, and I would, you know, just eat and then work out like crazy. And the enemy really tried hard for several years with that. And so a lot of times young girls will still come to me, and it's almost like a magnet. When you have someone that's in recovery out of addiction, a lot of times people will find rest talking to them, you know, if they are someone that struggled in that area. And so for me, my authenticity and me sharing, you know, I've struggled, I've had trouble, and there have been issues in my world where I have had brokenness. And that'll probably come here in a little bit with how Warriors began. But I believe that we can have this idea in our mind of how a Christian person's life is, or we can judge someone on the outside. And I talk a lot about that on social media. You know, you post one picture of yourself making crafts with your child, or you post, you know, this beautiful smiley face, and yet behind that smile is so much darkness, you know? And so there were dark times, but not horrific at all. Not like the stories that I hear, but I am able to say that I've overcome so much in that addiction. And addiction normally is replaced with something else. I'm sure you've run into that. And so I would notice that addictive, addictive personality. I would try to fill that void with something else, you know, okay, I can't work out crazy. Well, now I'm just going to, you know, make sure that all my calories are where they need to be. Okay, well, now we're going to stop that and we're going to go vegetarian. Now we're going to say, you know, it's just nuts. Right.
Well, and yeah. I'm glad you're sharing this because mm-hmm. when I think a lot about, especially those that are raised in church, mm-hmm. And I've said this because, you know, I wasn't raised in church, but my kids have been.
Yes.
And, you know, for a long time, I just prayed that they would love Jesus. Mm. And that's what I really wanted for them. And my husband, I would pray that way. And one day as I was reading the scriptures, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, who came to me because they loved me so much? Mm. And I realized there was actually no one in scripture that came to Jesus because they just loved him so much. And the Lord started changing my prayer life for my children. And I started praying, God, would you give them need? You see, because everybody came to Jesus because they had a need in their life. And what you're saying here is, yes, I was raised in church. Yes, I was introduced to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there were places of need in my life that really solidified my faith because that's where Jesus met me.
Wow, that's good.
You know, for our children, I think, you know, sometimes they get raised and they get labeled as Christians. They get, mm-hmm. right, they get introduced and they get told, hey, love Jesus, you know, more than any. That's what we would tell our kids. You got to love Jesus more than your toys, more than your mommy and daddy, more than anything in the world. Love him. But until that isn't tested, until there's need in their life. And when that need appears before them, that's the place of where they then decide who's really going to be the boss of their life. Are they going to choose to let that need drive them and let that need define them? And are they going to find themselves in brokenness without recovery?
Right. And that need usually is the exact area of temptation.
Absolutely.
Right. Because I could have easily gotten involved with men. Very
right.
young age.
And right. And so the Lord was protecting
in.
You,
oh,
but at
yeah.
the same time, because
yeah.
your parents loved you, mm-hmm. because they exposed you to truth, because mm-hmm. they were pre-discipling your heart, even
yeah.
before you knew what your heart wanted, mm-hmm. that when that need what confronted you, when you were right in the face of it, Jesus began to speak to you and you
yeah.
heard his voice and you responded to it. And mm-hmm. so I don't believe church kids love Jesus because they went to church their whole life. I think church kids love Jesus. Some church kids come to love Jesus because the need in their life confronts the place of truth in their life mm-hmm. and they choose truth.
And they actually have an encounter.
Yes.
Yeah, because we can read the Bible, we can go to our, you know, Sunday school classes, but if you don't actually have that one-on-one like I did in Japan, where it's just you and me, Jesus.
Right.
And we're doing this. And he's, you know, I always liken it to, I tell people, the Lord will go before you sometimes when you need that light, you know, onto your path. And then there's other times that you feel him holding your hand mm. and he's next to you. And there's other times you're looking around and you're like, where is he now? Because you feel so desperate. Well, he's actually carrying you at that moment.
Right.
And
right.
I love that. I think of that. Like that's when he's actually, and you feel his heartbeat. And I think there's times that you can look back. Most of us have those aha moments where we think, you know what? I really was carried at that time. I really could have gone down south and I didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Except that Jesus, mm-hmm. right, was right there in that moment, mm-hmm. carrying you, taking care of you.
Yeah.
I think we always look back and say, man, he was so faithful.
Yeah. It's so crazy too, because I am a worshiper. I'm a person who it's not a problem to speak. To sing, not a problem. I won awards with like speaking engagements and debates and stuff growing up, but I'm such a raw, authentic, I would prefer worship where it comes right from the heart. And I had a magazine that stumbled across my lap. I don't even know where, because my parents didn't like subscribe to magazines back in the day, but I don't know if it was in a doctor's office, but it was talking about how when people try to cause themselves to throw up, that the vocal cords get ruined.
Oh, wow.
And the Lord was like, you about ready to stop? The bulimia needs to stop now. Mm. It was intense. I was like, wow, God, I'm so sorry. Because I think sometimes that type personality that wants to exercise, just like drinking one glass of wine, you can do that in public and nobody would know that behind closed doors, you may be an alcoholic. So someone seeing a person like me who ice skated, I was a figure skater being from Canada, you know, 2 or 3 hours of ice skating a day, aerobics, running, all the things. Oh, she just loves to exercise.
Right.
They don't see the hurt behind it of, yeah. oh,
what was driving that?
Yeah. Wanting to be bone thin. And oh yeah, we hit that later in life. I got to talk to one of the people that I knew was one of the reasons why I became the way that I was. Not that we point fingers on a certain person, but you can add it up. You know, most times that type of an addiction, any addiction, usually is going to have a root somewhere.
Right.
And I was able to confront it to the actual human, which was good. There were two.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy when you have that closure too. The Lord will bring that at the time that it's supposed to come.
Yeah. He's good that way.
Yes.
All right. So this is your journey. This is mm-hmm. your story. Where does Warrior's Refuge come into play in all of this?
Okay, so get your Kleenexes, people. No. So I came here in 96, yes, and I did get married in 1998 to a gentleman that I met at Bible school. And honestly, things didn't go well immediately from that point. And I, as I described earlier, I'm from a godly family, mother and father, still together to this day. I believe it's like 55 years of marriage. Incredible. My mom still laughs at my dad's jokes, if that means anything.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I'm like, Mom, how can you do that? And she's like, they're funny. They're still funny after this many years. Because I think she does it like a courtesy. And she's like, no, they're literally funny. And so I'm from that school of thought. If something's broken, you fix it instead of, you know, backing out and getting divorced. And two, we met in Bible school, so surely there's a way, you know. Hmm. But it's kind of tough. So we went through some really, really hard times, and I felt the Lord releasing me. And there are going to be things, I'm sure, as years go by that I can openly share more. But at this time, I did have pastors and a couple of therapists say that it was time to get out. So we'll just leave that there if that's okay. Yeah. But in that process, I was pregnant with my third little one, and I did not know what was going to happen because I get really, really sick when I'm pregnant. And now my ex-husband's not in the house, and it's a large house payment. I'm not able to work, and I'm just crying out to him in my backyard. And very, very pregnant with some very awful words. I'm like, Lord God, I believe in you. I will never, ever doubt that you are real. But I do not feel right now that you have my back. You do not have my best, you know, interest. And this is like, I'm crying. I'm crying out to you. And I felt him say, oh yeah, chick, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Just like that moment when I was deciding what Bible school or what college. And sure enough, my oldest boy was rushed to emergency room, and the bill came in the mail, and it was for $999. I did not have like 99 that day. Yeah, it was intense. And I knew the bill didn't have to be paid immediately, so it just sat for a couple of days. And I had someone come to my home that didn't even know that I had taken Israel to the doctor. And I opened up this envelope after she left, and there were 10 $100 bills in that envelope.
Wow.
And I felt the Holy Spirit right then say, you ever going to doubt me again? Talk me right back to that backyard experience when I'm in the backyard yelling. And as a disclaimer, my neighbor said she did not hear me. I wasn't that loud. In my head, I was really loud. But I knew right then, it was like, he's going to carry me. And I know there are a lot of people that, when I was in Bible school, you know, we would hear stories. I remember one man saying, I got on a plane and went to Africa and I had $1 in my pocket. I am not that cool. Like, I'll just let you know. I have three little ones. I couldn't, like, my faith was not that crazy. I just couldn't. And yet maybe, you know, if the Lord told me to, maybe I could. I don't know. Because there are people that look at me and they go, I don't know how you did it. How did you not move back to Canada with your family? Well, I couldn't because their dad is American. So I couldn't get on a plane. So I had no family, no income, and a savior that I knew was there, but I wasn't trusting in fully, you know? So all of that was happening. And at the same time, once I was able to work again, I was massaging different people. I'm a massage therapist, career-wise. So I was trying to work really hard. And in my brokenness, I would still share the love of God with people. And I had multiple people say, you know, there's something about your personality that even though people may not be interested in what you have to say, they're captivated in how you say it and they listen. It's like you demand their attention. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I said, well, maybe it's because you're in here getting a massage. You can't leave. And they're like, no, really, like your personality. I want to hear more when you share about, like, I believe in this God that you're talking about. I even had an atheist once. I thought she was a believer and I'm talking about prayer and the love of God. And she pops her head up and says, you do know I'm an atheist. I'm like, what? I've known you for months. And, you know, and she's like, no, but my husband and I look at you and we look at people like you and we think, man, maybe they do have something we need. And I'm like, yes, I do. I do.
That's awesome.
Yes. It was so crazy. And so, one day in particular, I had a lady come and she just started to weep and, I was massaging her and she says to me, you know, I have gone to different women's groups, prayer groups. I've gone to so many people and they're giving me all these list of things to do. And how I'm supposed to get out of this dark place I'm in. And I just don't know what to do, but listening to you, I feel like there's hope. And I'm just shooting straight with her. And I'm like, well, sounds like to me, you just need a friend. So vent away. And so she did, she just vented and she just, you know, got it left on that table of massage and I'm praying with her. And she's like, I really wish that you could start something where you were a voice to others. And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm not even divorced yet. I'm walking through like so much brokenness. Who's going to listen to a single mama who's still trying to get her own life? And she's like, I'm listening. A lot of people would listen to you. And so I pray with her and the Lord immediately said, it's time. Mm-hmm. Which was funny because just some years prior to that, I had had a word given to me. Someone had prayed over me and they said, I see you like in a room with women and I just see you loving on women. And I laughed because I'm extremely co-ed. I don't like baby showers. I don't like to giggle. I don't like high heels. I have one pair and they were given to me. I, you know, I'm just not into that. Like I, that would not be something I would sign up for. And sure enough, years later, I'm standing here holding a woman and praying for her. And the Lord is saying, next Friday, you're going to cook and you're going to invite any broken women that need to be loved on. And sure enough, it went on for like months. Women were just coming on Friday nights. I was on food stamps. I mean, I literally still had, I was so broke. I'm cooking with my food stamp food and just, it was like the loaves and fishes. It would multiply and I would send home carry out for everybody who came. Children felt the love of God. And then it really became like the upper room. It really did. No one was without. I would find out, you know, a mom needed her tag renewed. A child needed something for school. One sweet gal needed toilet paper and feminine products. So we would find it. And I would just start posting on Facebook. Hey, we have a need for a stroller. Hey, we need this. I would come home from going someplace and my whole front yard would be full. I didn't even know sometimes who was bringing it. It became like a Goodwill.
Wow.
My garage, we had clothing rack, small, medium, large. So it really became a place to drop and a place to pick up, to the point of where I had to start saying only at certain times because I am in an HOA neighborhood and I'm going to get in trouble. Thank God I never did. So I posted on Facebook one day that I really saw a need for churches to rise up and to get outside of their four walls because I was reaching out to churches and getting closed doors. I was saying, you know, I have young women coming into my home and I'm noticing on your website, it says that you give to those that are your members. Or you give to tithing members. You do have a ministry. It's for single women, but it's only if you're a member. And so I said, I've got people that don't know Jesus yet that are coming, you know, and they're coming to know Jesus. Is there something you can do to help? So I make a Facebook post because we were trying to help a family that was literally facing eviction. And within about 12 hours, we raised $1,000. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment where people started messaging saying, okay, we realize there's something more to what you're doing than just Friday nights loving on women. And I had to turn it into a nonprofit. God had to be honest, because someone was ready to write me a really large check, really large to me, you know. And I sat there and I thought, how in the world do I do that? You know, so I went in to get that into a nonprofit. But the moment of truth where it became Warriors Refuge, there's a lot that comes with me in exercise for some reason. I'm running on my treadmill and I've got music from KXOJ playing. I've got worship and I'm praying. And the Lord was bringing me the song by Hannah Kerr. It's called Warrior. And it just talks so much about, you know, we fall down and we get up stronger. And I am a warrior. I am a warrior. So my children and I would dance. We're big dancers. We're not good, but we dance. We're running through the house to Warrior. Mom's a warrior. At that time, I was just reclaiming the warrior spirit because I was always that person since that, you know, really good friend that had the sexual experience. I would always be like a warrior for her when people were mean towards her because she did fall into some situations where she dated really young and people, you know, just the stuff. Right. And I was always the kid on the playground that was picking up for those that were being bullied. And so I had that warrior spirit, but it pretty much died as I was trying to stay married. That kind of became my own ministry for all those years was I got to stay married. So I didn't really keep up. And the warrior fight inside of me was coming back. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was just saying, it's okay, you know, for you to be you. And a lot of people, if you're listening right now and you're married and you feel like you've lost your identity, God has a calling for you individually. And yes, we want to have the covering of our husband. We want to have the covering of our Father God, but there is a place for us individually to hear from the Lord. And I had lost that one way to Jesus, and it was coming back and coming back with a fight. I've been holding my hands here so that you all won't hear me, and I am a arm person. So if you hear flailing, it's because I'm getting excited. So I hope you all hear that in my voice. I have held them on purpose, and I feel like only now is my real personality coming out because I let my arms come out. But I want you to know that, people, that there is a place, and I started reading The Purpose-Driven Life, and you could tell from the first couple of chapters where I was still like, okay, can I stay married? Can I make this work? Can I make it kind of like putting that square peg in a hole notch, and it just wasn't going to work. And the Lord roundabout, like if you've ever read it, it's in a 40-day process. And just before like day 20, you can tell because there's questions in there. And I start answering for Marcia instead of Marcia still married and trying to force something. And so I literally like became that butterfly that was like, yes, I can do this. And the warrior came out. And so then when these women started coming to my home, the Lord started speaking refuge, a place of rest. These women are coming and finding healing here. And I was like, that's such an oxymoron, warriors, refuge, where he's like, that's what it is. They're finding the warrior they've lost. You are a fighter for those that are not seen and heard, the broken, and your home, you in general, are becoming that place of rest for people.
That's awesome.
So here we are, warriors, refuge.
Yeah. I love this because I know that there are women listening right now that, and there could be men listening, right? Mm-hmm. That they feel like where they're at in their place of life, that they're not enough. Yeah. Maybe that they've missed their purpose. Maybe they've missed their calling. You know, maybe they look at their debt and they say, there's just no way that God can use me because of this. Yeah. Or they look at their marriage and they have been so defined by that, mm-hmm. that they have lost their sense of identity in Jesus. Yeah. And what I love about your story, Marcia, is the story that God has been writing in your life is that, you know, right where you were at, you began to look up and he began to breathe into you and speak life into you. Yeah. But through that, right where you were at, you took even your food stamps,
Food stamp
and said, God, whatever you want to use, right? Whatever you want to use. Like if you can use me, if you can use me in this place right here, then I want to be usable. And that's what I believe about God is that when we just offer him what we have, and even though maybe it's messy, even though it doesn't fit the model of what we compare ourselves to, right? We're in such a filtered world where we, like you said, we get on Instagram, we get on Facebook, and we see these certain snapshot pictures, but we have no idea the trail of darkness behind it.
Right.
And if we could just look up and say, Jesus, I know you see me, I know you love me, and I'm going to give you what I have, I believe that Jesus will meet a person right there. And your story is evidence that he meets you right there. And it seems as though he didn't disqualify you because of those things.
No, but used them to his glory. I mean, I tell women all the time that my meeting place with Jesus was either the treadmill or literally on my face bawling and crying out to the Lord. And I would tell him, you know, Lord, I want you to finish the surgery. I want you to just sew me up now. And he'd say, are we done? We're not done yet. Mm-hmm. You still have things for me to work and to move and to fix. But in the process, we're still able to use this story. Even today, you know, we all still deal with things. And that's why being so authentic, I feel like I just shared this last week live, you know, a lot of churches are coming out and they're showing that pastors and different people have fallen into sin, so much so that the world is saying, I'm not going to go to church. Well, I always out my sin ahead of time. And I say, I struggle with anger still sometimes, or I struggle with, you know, being judgmental or the things, you know, just so that people will know I am human.
Right.
I am your sister and I will pray with you. But something that I bring up a lot, and on our logo, there's a butterfly and there's a reason for that. I always would say, Lord, I want my wings. I want to just fly. And I did not know this until walking through the darkness. I was crying really hard one day and I literally had a sweat rag, and it wasn't for sweat. It was for tears. Like I cried. I was just weeping before the Lord. And I was watching a clip and a speaker was talking about, and I did look it up later on Google, so it's really real.
The process never lies.
Google. A science, like look into science, the butterfly. And I know I use this story a lot, but it's such a good one. When people see that nasty little fuzzy caterpillar, you know, on the ground, they want the butterfly phase so quick, you know, and that caterpillar has to morph and it has to mold and get into the chrysalis, you know, and it has to stay there for ever so long. And if you go over there and you tap and try to break in, it can't live. It has to go through all of that. But the part that really gets me is that there is a process where you're no longer this fuzzy caterpillar and you're no longer yet butterfly wings and soaring. You're actually a soupy, yucky mess. Mm. So you literally couldn't move. And I'm like, Jesus, I've been there so many times. But the thing is the Lord wants you to stay there for a little bit until he's done.
Right.
So many of us want to get up. You know, imagine I had C-sections. Imagine I got up before they had all my intestines put back in and before they sewed me up, right? Did this just become PG-13? I think we just became PG-13.
Yeah, something just happened.
So if we sew that up, we're fine. But if we jump up before, I'm not going to live.
Right.
Right? Same thing. So he wants us in that butterfly stage, but we sometimes have to go through that. And so a lot of the time when I'm meeting with people, and I do meet with men and women, and we do resource out to others that are in need. And we've grown definitely from my little family room, prayers and stuff. And we work with people in homelessness, coming out of addiction, reentry out of prison. We do it all, sex trafficking. We help. And if we don't have the answer, we try to get you to who does.
That's good.
Yeah. Huge. But I don't ever want to say, I can't help you and hang up. That is something that I just don't want to happen. But in the process of that, a lot of times the people that I talk to say, well, I want to be where you are. I want to help others. And I'm like, just yesterday you were assaulted and you just had to file a protective order. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. If you had seen me 10 years ago, you would not dream that where I am today,
right,
you know, is where I am. And so I want to make sure that people keep that in mind as well, that, you know, when you're on that surgeon's table, let him fix and finish what he's doing. And still know there's physical therapy. We still got to work some kinks out afterwards.
Right.
So,
well, healing is a process, right? And our faith is a process.
Yeah.
You know, that as we're walking it out, as we are growing in who, and really stepping into the identity that Jesus has given us, it is a process.
Yeah.
And, you know, my goal is always where I am today. In 10 years, I want to be different.
Yes.
I want to look more like Jesus. Yes. I want to be better.
Yeah.
I want to learn from my mistakes. I want to grow in those places that are really hard right now. I want to be able to pull others along. You know, I love that Jesus leverages our brokenness for his glory.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't keep us in that muck, right? But there's seasons that it's kind of mucky.
Yeah.
There's seasons that it's really hard. There's seasons that it's really dark. But what I love about the gospel is Jesus meets us in those places, and then he grows us through it.
Amen.
You know, I mean, we can look at the scriptures and say, you know, when David was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Who met him there?
Yeah.
Right? His Father in heaven was with him.
Yeah.
He gave him a rod and a staff. You know, the Lord never abandons us in our darkness. In fact, it's in our darkness, I think, that the light shines the brightest and we see him the most if we will look to him.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to look up for sure. Yeah. There's an analogy of a little guy on the seashore with the starfish, and everyone has a different kind of play on that. But that is a really good one for people to think about when they want to help others, you know, out of their darkness. We grab the starfish that we can that's on the shore, and people may make fun of you like, oh, there's like millions out here. What are you doing? You throw that one back into the ocean. You just saved one. You just helped one.
Right.
And then you go back for the next one. So the same thing we talk about, those coming out of addiction, coming out of recovery, going back to the hell that you came out of with water for those that are in their hell. I love that. Drag them back out, get them back out, and then go back again.
That's good.
Go back there, get the next one, the starfish, get them off the seashore, throw them back in, and don't care about what anyone around you thinks.
Right.
Just do what you can do with what you have, and then just keep going with that for sure. Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know we're kind of tailing it down now, but I would like to hear, do you have just a couple ways that you have seen the Lord work specifically through Warriors Refuge, a story, one or two stories that as those that are listening, they're saying, okay, I think I'm understanding what Warriors Refuge is, mm-hmm. But what does that look like when you are walking that out, you know, or even a mission statement, something that says this is who we are and this is what distinguishes us in the ministry that God has called you to do.
Okay. So our mission statement is helping put broken pieces back together through hope and resources. So we try to make sure that the first thing that people see is Jesus Christ and salvation. We can give tents and sleeping bags all day long to people to keep them warm, which we do. But if we're not making sure they have Jesus, they're just having a cozier way to get to hell. And we don't want that. Right. Hell is eternal.
Right.
So if you're listening and you don't know Jesus, I hope that's the first thing you take away from today is you got to have him for sure. One of the stories that I think is probably one of our dearest stories for me personally there's so many, there's hundreds right now at this point, but one that's really beautiful is my friend Bambi. She was given up at the police station by her mother, and it's written in her book, so I'm able to share. She was fleeing a rape situation, and her mother believed the man over her daughter. Mm. So Bambi was at the police station hoping that her mom was coming to help her, and instead she gave up all of her ties to her daughter. And Bambi ended up in foster care, ran away, and ended up in downtown Tulsa. And a gentleman, so-called gentleman, a man, came to so-called help her, who ended up pimping her out at the age of 13. Wow. So Bambi's world changed so quickly and radically, and for 27 years, she lived a life with pimps and prostitution. And someone reached out to me and said, she is now healthy. She's gone through 22 months of therapy, and she is out helping other prostitutes and those that live on the street in the area that she once was found. And we'd love for you to meet her. And so I called or texted her, and she said, I'd love to talk to you. So we talk on the phone, and pretty quickly she's like, Marcia, I want you to know I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. So I do good things. I get out there and bring food and hygiene, but what it is you're doing, I'm not quite doing that stuff. And I'm like, that, you know, I'm here for you. I want to, you know, get to know you more. And within a week, she's watching more of the Facebook lives and just kind of seeing and finding out that there's no ulterior motive to me. I just want to love her and be a friend. And the next week we had a luncheon where we were bringing people to the community to let people know the different types of organizations in the Oklahoma area that help to fight sex trafficking. And I invited her because she had a nonprofit, but I wanted her to do it in such a way that she would share the nonprofit and then follow it with, the reason I'm here is because of what happened to my own world. That night, she texted me really late. We were back and forth, and she's like, Marcia, I've been following you, and when I see you praying, it looks like you're actually praying to somebody. Like, this is just crazy to me. She said, I've been missing Jesus, apparently, so can you lead me to him?
Oh, wow.
So I call her that night, like 1:15 in the morning, and we're praying, and the next, I think it was a week or two later, she wanted to be water baptized, and she says, lead me down as long as you can. I've got a lot of, you know, dirt to leave behind. And it was just precious, because I said, you know, you are still just the same as anyone else getting water baptized, but I understand what you're thinking, you know, and we're embracing each other, and I'm just loving on her, and I'm seeing God right before my eyes. And yet there were moments since then where, you know, I'd go through something where we would help someone so intently, and when it was time for them to get back on their feet, they would be mad at me because it was time for them to maybe pay a bill or to do something and warriors couldn't jump in or, you know, and we're not an enabling group. We are big on hand up, not hand out.
Right.
You need to help yourself as well. And she would just reach out to me and say, you know, I know what it's like because I was on that side of manipulating others. And she's like, you got a big heart. I want to be here for you. And I would always say to her like, oh, Bambi, you know, you've been through so much hell. I don't even want to share if I have anything in my world, you know, apples and oranges, you can't compare. And she would put me in my place. She's like, girl, you've had brokenness and you've had people hurt you too. Mm-hmm. And so for me with warriors, I feel like we help pretty much anybody that is fighting anything and is in brokenness because we see Jesus with the hem of his garment being tugged at, you know, with Bambi realizing there was something different about us and it was Jesus.
That's,
you know,
so good.
So I really feel today that if you can keep that sweet gal in your head of someone that we can do a lot of good, but is it the God thing, you know, and truly anywhere that you're at to this day, you can still be utilized wherever you are. You don't have to be a part of a ministry, although it is good to be if you can be, you know. Yeah, and find those that are truly doing the hand ups for sure.
Yeah. So if people want to know how to be involved,
okay,
you know, so they're looking for, they've heard you talk, they've heard your story, mm-hmm. they've heard what Warriors Refuge is doing. How do they get connected?
Okay. So we are on Facebook with Warriors Refuge Inc. And then I'm on there, Marsha Waterman. Truthfully, I am a chick from the 70s. I'm not good with techie. You can call or you can text 918-346-9804. And then our website, which gives great, great information because I'm not in charge of the website, is www.918refuge.life. We are in a place right now, honestly, where we do a lot of pouring out and we help teenage moms with little babies. We help people to get in a car to doctor's appointments. We help people with clothing so they can go to interviews. We do it all. Like today I'm leaving here. I'm running to the store to get items for a grandfather that has guardianship of four of his grandchildren. We're trying to place them and they need items right now as they're in temporary housing. We pretty much do it all. And so sometimes when people hear about what we do, they think, oh my gosh, it's so much. Like, how do you need an elephant? You know, Marsha's doing too many things. Warrior's doing too much. You may hear one portion of what we do and it strikes a chord. You know, you have someone that you know that's been an addiction or you yourself have had things that you've experienced that you'd like to help with. And so jumping on there, messaging us, letting us know, you know, we would love to be involved. Obviously funding is something that is always a necessity because everything is faith-based, funded-wise. We've never actually had a fundraiser. I may one day just, you know, do something fun. Currently we have not done that yet. So everything that we've done, which we've gotten vehicles for people, we've paid 6 months rent for people. We've done incredible things all through God, not we, it's all God. So those would be great. Sometimes we honestly need people. If someone's not ready to go, you know, to North Tulsa, East Side, to a different part of town that they're not used to, if they could be that person on the phone praying with someone, we need that too. Encouraging someone, being there for them, a drive, a lift, a gas card, Uber. There's so many different areas that we can use help with. Even the techie part, if there's anyone that loves to help with, you know, we're making a resource app right now and it is really in the works. So if you are listening and you have a nonprofit and you feel that you would like to be known in the Oklahoma area and even outside of Oklahoma at some point, we are going to branch out. But in the Oklahoma area, we are linking it so that people can click this app and they'll have what they need. You just put in there, you know, went to Quick Trip, found a young lady. She's got three children living in homelessness, and you'll be able to get a link as to different places that would open up. So we're right in the heat of that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. There's nothing kind of like I know here in Oklahoma, you call the number 211 and you get resources, but this is more like a faith-based one where we're keeping it updated, making sure the place is still doing what they say they're doing. Because we don't want to give 211. That's a default number. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're giving people sound numbers and, you know, 211 has its place, but we want to do more. We want to do more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And you're being driven different. You know, if you're getting nonprofits that are faith-based, then you, along the way, you want to introduce them to Jesus.
Yeah. And we do that a lot. We have a page in Facebook that's a private group. If you are in a ministry and you'd like to be involved in that. So if we have like a couple weeks ago, there was a huge semi truck load of laundry soap and hand soap that came to Tulsa, and we set it up like where they dropped it off, and any nonprofit that had housing, transitional living, they went with trucks and vans and loaded them up. Then there's other times where we'll jump on and we're like, oh, we have a need. Mm-hmm. And then someone might have that need. And it's such a beautiful, honestly, it should be what we see the church doing, the right. upper room. Nobody right. should be without. The arm needs the foot. The elbow needs
yeah,
the
that's good.
Achilles. You know, we need it all.
We need it all.
Yes.
So last question.
Yes.
How can people be praying for you as you steerhead this, as God has laid this on your heart? How can people specifically be praying for you personally as you walk out obedience to Christ okay. with Warriors Refuge?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we became a nonprofit in 2019. And if you followed ever since then, a lot of people have seen the waves and how things have changed and moved and seasons. You know, there'd be a 6-month period where we're specific on certain things. And one of the things that stays constant is that I have to fully trust the Lord, just like I did when I was in that backyard yelling at the Lord. I don't yell anymore. Thank God. I stopped that. But I personally am still a single mama. I homeschool my children and none of us are quiet. So there's a lot of, you know, cooks in the kitchen, lots happening financially, personally for us. It's still, I've gone full-time ministry. So I never know from month to month what's coming in. So we have really prayed about finding more monthly donors that just want to love on us as a family. I've had people that fall in love with my oldest son. He suffers with high functioning autism and he shoots almost straighter than I do because I'm pretty shoot straighter, but straight shooter. I'm a straight shooter, but he's one of those that doesn't grace it with a little bit of anything. He just, you know, lets it out and people fall in love with that. They love, you know, that I add my kiddos' humor in there sometimes. So some people have seen that and they'll ask like, you know, how can you do all that you do and still be a good mom? I've had some that have actually even headbutted me on that and wondered. And so I've purposely put a little bit more of my family life on there. I don't put pictures of my children, but I'll put some things just to let people know, like I unplug sometimes for 24 hours, zero screen, zero phone. And I am just with my children, PJs, cooking, baking, being a mama. So for me, being able to juggle and making sure that our family is still getting what they need as well. But I feel like we're in a good place of balance and just, you know, God's taking care of us for sure. I am from Canada and have not gotten to go home. My dad went through a very sick season last month and I couldn't get there. So that would be a huge prayer request. I'm trying to get home. So
yeah. Definitely. So if you're listening, these are ways that you can pray for Marcia, how you can pray for Warriors Refuge.
Amen.
And again, their website is 918refuge.life. Check it out. You know, pray for what God is, the way that God is using them. Pray for increasement of resources. Pray for financial blessing. She's going to some pretty dark places. But you know, that's what the Lord does. He always takes us to the poor, the marginalized, the broken, because he is life and he's hope and he's the living water that they need. Yeah. And so thank you so much for listening. We would love to connect with you. So feel free to reach out to us at allstar.org and we'll point you back to Warriors Refuge. And so you can really get a hold of what they're doing to be a part of making an impact in your own city. All right. God bless you guys.